chapter 37. Now that was all fixed. So then we went back and went to the rubbish pile in the backyard where they keep the old boots and rags and pieces of bottles and worn-out tin things, all such truck, and scratched around and found an old tin pan, an old tin washpan, and stopped up the holes as well as we could to bake the pie in. Took it down cellar and stole it full of flour and started for breakfast and found a couple of shingle nails that Tom said would be handy for a prisoner to scrabble his name and sorrows on the dungeon walls with. Dropped one of them in Aunt Sally's apron pocket, which was hanging on a chair, and t'other we stuck in the band of Uncle Silas's hat, which was on the bureau, because we heard the children say their pa and ma was going to the runaway nigger's house this morning. Then went to breakfast, and Tom dropped the pewter spoon in Uncle Silas's coat pocket, and Aunt Sally wasn't come in yet, so we had to wait a little while. When she come in, she was hot and red and cross, and she couldn't hardly wait for the blessings, and then she went to sluicing out coffee with one hand, cracking the handiest child's head with her thimble with the other, and says, "I've hunted high and I've hunted low. Does beat all what has become of your other shirt." My heart fell down amongst my lungs and livers and things, and a hard piece of corn crust started down my throat after it, got met on the road with the cough, and shot across the table and took one of the children in the eye and curled him up like a fishing worm. Let a cry out of him the size of a war whoop. Tom, he turned kind of blue around the gills, and it all amounted to a considerable state of things for about a quarter of a minute, or as much as that. I would have sold out for half price if there was a bidder, but after that we was all right again. It was the sudden surprise of it that knocked us so kind of cold. And Uncle Silas, he says, "It's most uncommon curious. I can't understand it. Now, I know perfectly well I took it off because you ain't got but one on. Just listen at the man. I know you took it off. I know it by a better way than your wool-gathering memory, too. It was on the clothesline yesterday. I see it there myself. But it's gone. That's the long and short of it. You'll just have to change the red flannel one till I get time to make a new one. It'll be the third I've made in 2 years. Keeps a body on the jump to keep you in shirts. Whatever you do manage to do with them all is more than I can make out. A body'd think you would learn to take some sort of care of them at your time of life. I know it's Sally. I do try all I can, but it oughtn't to be altogether my fault. You know, I don't see them nor have nothing to do with them except when they're on me. And I don't believe I've ever lost one of them off me." "Well, it ain't your fault if you haven't, Silas. You'd have done it if you could, I reckon. The shirt ain't all that's gone, neither. There's a spoon gone. That ain't all. There was 10, now there's only 9. The calf got the shirt, I reckon, but the calf never took the spoon, that's certain. Why, what else is gone, Sally?" "There's 6 candles gone, that's what. The rats could have got the candles. I reckon they did. Wonder they don't walk off the whole place the way you're always going to stop up their holes and don't do it. If they weren't fools, they'd sleep in your hair, Silas. You'd never find it out. But you can't lay the spoon on the rats, that I know." "Well, Sally, I'm in fault. I acknowledge it. I've been remiss. But I won't let tomorrow go by without stopping up them holes." "Oh, I wouldn't worry. Next year'll do. Matilda Angelina Araminta Phelps!" Whack comes a thimble. Child snatches her claws out of the sugar bowl without fooling around any. Just then the nigger woman steps into the passage and says, "Missus, there's a sheet gone." "A sheet gone? Well, for the land's sakes, I'll stop up them holes today," says Uncle Silas, looking sorrowful. "Oh, do shut up. Suppose the rats took the sheet? Where's it gone, Lize?"
"Clare to goodness, I no notion, Miss Sally. She's on the clothesline yesterday. But she done gone. She ain't there no more now."
"I reckon the world is coming to an end. I never see the beat of it in my born days. A shirt and a sheet and a spoon and 6 messes," comes a young yaller wench.
"There's a brass candlestick, miss. Clear out of here, you hussy. I'll take a skillet to you."
Well, she was just bilin'. I begun to lay for a chance. I reckoned I would sneak out and go for the woods till the weather moderated. She kept raging right along, running her insurrection all by herself, and everybody else mighty weak and quiet. At last, Uncle Silas, looking kind of foolish, fishes up that spoon out of his pocket. She stopped with her mouth open and her hands up. As for me, I wish I was in Jerusalem or somewhere, but not long, because she says, "It's just as I expected. You had it in your pocket all the time. Like as not, you got the other things there, too. Now, how'd it get there?
"I really don't know, Sally," he says, kind of apologizing, "or, you know, I would tell. I was studying over my text in Acts 17 before breakfast, and I reckon I put it in there, not noticing, meaning to put my testament in. It must be so, because my testament ain't in, but I'll go and see, and if the testament is where I had it, I'll know I didn't put it in, and that'll show that I laid the testament down and took up the spoon, and, oh, for the land's sakes, give a body a rest. Go along now, the whole kit and bilin' of it, and don't come nigh me again till I got back my peace of mind." I'd have heard her if she'd have said it to herself, let alone speaking it out, and I got up and obeyed her if I'd have been dead. As we was passing through the sitting room, the old man, he took up his hat, and the shingle nail fell out on the floor. He just merely picked it up and laid it on the mantel shelf and never said nothing and went out. Tom see him do it and remembered about the spoon and says, "Well, it ain't no use to send things by him no more. He ain't reliable." And he says, "But he done us a good turn with the spoon anyway without knowing it. So we'll go and do him one without him knowing it. We'll stop up his rat holes." There was a noble good lot of them down cellar, and it took us a whole hour, but we done the job tight and good and shipshape. Then we heard steps on the stairs, blowed out our light, and hid. Here comes the old man with a candle in one hand, a bundle of stuff in t'other, looking about as absent-minded as year before last. He went a-mooning around, first to one rat hole and then another, till he'd been to them all. Then he stood about 5 minutes, picking tallow drip off of his candle, thinking. Then he turns off, slow and dreamy, the other stairs, saying, "Well, for the life of me, I can't remember when I done it. I could show her now that I weren't to blame on account of the rats. But never mind, let it go. I reckon it wouldn't do no good." So he went on, mumbling upstairs, and then we left. He was a mighty nice old man, and always is. Tom was a good deal bothered about what to do for a spoon, but he said we'd got to have it, so he took a think. When he'd ciphered it out, he told me how we was to do, and then we went and waited around the spoon basket till we see Aunt Sally coming. Then Tom went to counting the spoons and laying them out to one side, and I slid one of them up my sleeve. Tom says, "Why, Aunt Sally, there ain't but 9 spoons yet." She says, "Go along with your play. Don't bother me. I know better. I counted them myself." "Well, I've counted them twice, Auntie. I can't make but 9. She looked all out of patience. Of course she come to count. Anybody would. "Well, I declare to gracious, there ain't but 9. She says, What in the world? Plague take the things. I'll count them again." So I slipped back the one I had, and when she got done counting, she says, "Hang the troublesome rubbish. There's 10 now." She looked huffy and bothered both, but Tom says, "Well, Auntie, I don't think there's 10. You numbskull, didn't you see me count 'em?" "Well, I know, but I'll count 'em again." So I smouched one, and they come out 9, same as the other time. Well, she was in a tearing way, just trembling all over, where she was so mad. But she counted and counted till she got that addle. She'd start to count in the basket for a spoon sometimes. And so 3 times they come out right, and 3 times they come out wrong. She grabbed up the basket, slammed it across the house, knocked the cat galley west. Said she'd clear out and let her have some peace, and if we come bothering around again betwixt that and dinner, she'd skin us. So we had the odd spoon and dropped it in her apron pocket while she was giving us our sailing orders. Jim got it all right, along with her shingle nail, before noon. We was very well satisfied with the business. Tom allowed it was worth twice the trouble it took, because he said now she couldn't ever count them spoons twice alike to save her life. Wouldn't believe she'd counted them right if she did. Said after she'd about counted her head off for the next 3 days, he judged she'd give it up and offered to kill anybody that wanted to ever count them any more. So he put the sheet back on the line that night and stole one out of her closet, and kept putting it back and stealing it again for a couple of days till she didn't know how many sheets she had anymore. Said she didn't care and wasn't going to bullyrag the rest of her soul out about it and wouldn't count them again, not to save her life. She'd rather die first. So we was all right now. As to the shirt and the sheet and the spoon and the candles, by the help of the calf and the rats and the mixed-up counting. And as to the candlestick, it weren't no consequence. It would blow over by and by.
But that pie was a job. We had no end of trouble with that pie. We fixed it way down in the woods and cooked it there, and when we got it done at last, and very satisfactory too, but not all in one day. We had to use up 3 wash pans full of flour before we got through, and we got burnt pretty much all over in places. Eyes put out with the smoke because, you see, we didn't want nothing but a crust, and we couldn't prop it up right. She'd always cave in. But, of course, we thought the right way at last, which was to cook the ladder, too, in the pie. So then we laid in with Jim the second night and tore up the sheet in little strings and twisted them together, and long before daylight we had a lovely rope you could have hung a person with. We let on it took 9 months to make it. And in the forenoon we took it down in the woods, but it wouldn't go in the pie, being made of a whole sheet that way. There was rope enough for 40 pies if we'd wanted them, plenty left over for soup or sausage or anything you choose. We could have had a whole dinner, but we didn't need it. All we needed was just enough for the pie, so we throwed the rest away. We didn't cook none of the pies in the wash pan, afraid the solder would melt, but Uncle Silas, he had an oval brass warming pan, which he thought considerable of, because it belonged to one of his ancestors with a long wooden handle that come over from England with William the Conqueror in the Mayflower, or one of them early ships, and was hid away up garret with a lot of other old pots and things that was valuable, not on account of being any account, because they weren't, but on account of them being relics, you know. And we snaked her out private and took her down there, but she failed on the first pies because we didn't know how, but she come up smiling on the last one. We took her and lined her with dough and set her in the coals and loaded her up with rag rope and put on a dough roof, shut down the lid, put hot embers on top, and stood off 5 foot with a long handle, cool and comfortable. In 15 minutes she turned out a pie that was a satisfaction to look at. But the person that ate it would want to fetch a couple of kegs of toothpicks along, for if that rope ladder wouldn't cramp him down to business, I don't know nothing what I'm talking about, and lay in enough stomach ache to last him till next time, too. Nat didn't look when we put the witch pie in Jim's pan, and we put the 3 tin plates in the bottom of the pan under the victuals, so Jim got everything all right, and as soon as he was by himself, we busted into the pie and hid the rope ladder inside of his straw tick and scratched some marks on a tin plate and throwed it out the window hole.